Chair, point of personal privilege.
Yes, go ahead.
I have to leave. I have to go get sworn in for something, and I'll be back. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence.
One thing, Lawrence, before you go, parliamentarian here. May I be recognized, yes. Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
It's very nebulous where this motion is postponed to. It's not like it's definitive, like the next meeting or anything like that. It's postponed until someone can have a discussion with someone else.
No, I don't think it's nebulous, Mr. Tatum. I respectfully disagree with you. I postponed it to after the discussion on the bylaws notation that I noticed. In regards to the election timeline. But I respect your words, Mr. Tatum.
Okay, as long as everyone's clear when it's postponed to.
Thanks. Is there anything else from the Elections Committee, Teresa? Or was that the report?
We had another motion in executive session, but can't really say anything about it. But thank you.
Fair enough.
And I do have a director's inspection to determine what we spent on the elections this year. And if there is someone on the Finance Committee that can tell me the answer to that question, or if we know how much we spent on legal fees on this election, I sure would be curious to know. And so would the Elections Committee.
Fair enough. I assume no one knows that off the top of their head.
I can tell you on legal fees, you spent zero.
Oh, we do know something off the top of our head. All right. Thanks. Is there a report from the Programming Committee?
Julie, this is Heather. I'm the chair pro tem of the Programming Committee. We've had one meeting. So what I'd like to do, though, is report more in depth at the next PNB meeting or when we're having other committee meetings. I just want to tell everyone, though, at our first meeting, we've only had the one meeting, as I said, I asked if everyone could please give some ideas on their ideas about programming, and it was wonderful. So what I'm going to do is make an assessment of all of that and share that with the board.
Great.
Thank you.
Any questions regarding Heather's Programming Committee report?
Madam Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to remind you that we were going to postpone the report of legal counsel until he appeared, and we were going to pause all the committee reports.
That's a good point. All right. Arthur, would you like to give your legal report now?
And sure.
So this is a 30-minute item. Susan, go ahead, Arthur.
I'm going to be brief but pointed.
There may be questions.
Jacob, or two others.
The main event of the last week, which I have communicated about to the board, so I don't need to go into all the details, is a, we learned on Saturday, the 30th, that Donald Goldmacher, a member of this board, was calling people in New York to try to get them to sign on to a petition to the FCC to deny Pacifica's license in New York, where we function under the call letters WBAI. He didn't realize he called somebody, one of the people he called has a show on WBAI and has for many years. So that person got Donald to send a draft copy of the petition he was planning to file with the FCC. I sent after consulting with the executive director, I sent Donald a cease and desist letter, or email, which I copied to the full board. explaining to him that filing a petition like that was a breach of his fiduciary duty and his duty of loyalty as a director of the corporation, which violates both our bylaws and California corporation law. Nevertheless, it was filed Monday or Tuesday. And I believe it was filed on Monday. It's titled A Petition to Deny. Although it does suggest as an alternative to denying renewal of our license there, which is up for renewal, for an 8-year renewal, that based upon a series of complaints, it's about 475 pages long, it includes hundreds of pages of transcripts of WBAI shows. The petitioners, who call themselves the Pacifica Rescue Committee, say to the FCC that as an alternative to denying the license, they suggest the FCC fine Pacifica, or appoint conditions on renewal with a monitor that would monitor the broadcasts in New York, and that be for a 2-year period of time, with the monitor reviewing whatever is done in New York and sort of supervising the broadcasts in New York. We consulted with our FCC counsel, who was copied on the filing, and she has expressed to us meaning I had a meeting with the officers and John Amelot, our FCC compliance person at Pacifica, and the ED, that this was a very serious matter. It requires us to file a response, which was going to require having to go through 475 pages of material plus lots of other work that would be needed to address the allegations. And it's the upfront retainer they wanted was $20,000, but it could go a lot higher than that. These are lawyers that charge $600-$700 an hour. And it's not work that I do. I charge Pacifica $250 an hour. And I have a retainer, by the way, just for those of you who don't know, my retainer is $5,000 a month and I owe 20 hours to Pacifica. And if I don't use it, it rolls into the next month. And there are very few months where I bill more. So that's the current situation. With that, there's on the other stuff, there's nothing else to report about the negotiations with Jan Goodman about a stipulation. I mean, we have agreed to put the whole case on hold for 45 days while we try to work out a stipulation that would then have the court just make a ruling on the various issues raised in the Los Angeles case. I'm also still discussing with various media attorneys in California a mounting a vigorous opposition to the defamation finding by the arbitrator in the Verniel case. I haven't found counsel yet, but there's some pretty big names, and I think people think that the decision was outrageous, and particularly because Pacifica is being held liable for basically one program on one day where somebody said that Verniel was part of a group of people that were trying to take WBA off the air, and lo and behold, a week later, somebody files a petition with the FCC to take WBAI off the air. Anyway, that's my report.
Thanks. Questions for Arthur. I see Mark's hand.
Mr. Schwartz, I've just been reviewing this FCC petition, and you were talking about bringing in lawyers that are very expensive. And I have to ask, why does Pacifica have to do anything? Can't Pacifica just let it play out? Particularly if this FCC petition is based on false premises and it's just smoke and mirrors, there should be no need for hand-wringing or expensive lawyers. If the FCC says nothing is in violation, then we can all breathe a sigh of relief. But if things are in violation, then it's imperative that things be corrected to protect Pacifica. And we will have to face whatever, you know, misconduct or FCC violations that threaten Pacifica no matter what. And I ask this because as a PNB member, it is our fiduciary obligation to protect the Pacifica Foundation and its listeners and its donors, not to protect individuals, particularly not individuals who are ignoring the rules of the FCC or the CPB. So I'm just wondering, cannot this be just played out?
I don't mean you any disrespect, Mark, but that's kind of an absurd question. We've been served basically with a lawsuit. And to say, oh, let the court decide it without responding. Our attorneys, as I said, I don't do FCC law. I mean, I know the basics. Our attorneys said it's a very serious thing that needs to be responded to in detail. You don't let a 475-page petition seeking to take you off the air or fine you play out. There's no such thing. It's like you get served with a lawsuit and you say, I'll let it play out. I don't need to respond to it. It's no such thing.
So this is a lawsuit?
Yes, it's a lawsuit filed with the FCC. Yes, it's a petition. It is a petition to revoke our license. And it is the equivalent, it's an administrative complaint against Pacifica. It's not a letter to the editor. It's a very serious item that was drafted by an attorney, with lots of legal citations, 400 pages of exhibits. And one cannot, if anybody is going out there saying, oh, it's no big deal, then that, not to defend it would be a breach of your fiduciary duty.
Thanks, Arthur. I see the hands up. Susan Young is next.
Yes. Arthur, my belief is that my top responsibility as a board member is when things are brought to my attention that are grievous infractions, that these merit investigation and legal advice from the appropriate counsel who can address FCC issues. If these things need to be remedied, if there are any of these things that need to be remedied, that needs to be our top priority.
I don't disagree with you, and I think that the obligation of any director who believes something is wrong anywhere should come to the board, because we have, you know, as I've stressed many times, and I sent this out, we have an obligation of this is an open meeting. I think we're in the open meeting, right? So, but we have confidential discussions at meetings about problems that can snowball into something serious. And the obligation of a director is to bring serious issues to the board. It's happened many times before in the past. Sometimes they're addressed, sometimes they're not addressed. Before that director, and then actually the way a director is supposed to deal with that, if they think the board is not properly dealing with it, is to bring an action like Mr. Goldmacher did, and Ms. Turner did 2 years ago, they sued the president of the board for breach of fiduciary responsibility.
I beg your pardon, but I'm not asking about what Donald Goldmacher did right or wrong. That is something that is being considered in another place. My question, I have now brought to the attention of this board a listing of possible violations of FCC requirements, and I am asking that this board talk to Melody Virtue, about these FCC requirements and that we focus on the very serious matter at hand before us now.
I wasn't aware that you had made a complaint, so I apologize.
I forwarded to the board as a whole that I thought the critical fiduciary responsibility was to investigate these infractions, determine whether they have validity or not, and discuss remedies for any infractions that do exist and that we should be consulting with FCC attorney, the DC-based attorney on retainer. So that notice is made and I make it again, I repeat it in this meeting.
Well, we will, now that this petition is filed, we're going to be going over a lot of stuff with them.
Next is James McFadden, then Jim Dinman, but go ahead, James.
I just wanted to say, I think also that this is, if a member of the board has a issue that they think is serious, they bring it to the board first and hash it out. And I think that's the proper way. And the idea that we would not respond, it's like being accused of fraud and being brought to court and showing up without a lawyer and assuming the court's going to figure it all out by itself without any response. It's an absolutely absurd idea. You know, and I think this is going to cost Pacifica at a time where we really can't afford it, you know, quite a bit. And it is a really serious injury to Pacifica to have this FCC filing.
Thanks. Jim Dingman.
I don't know where to start. Well, first of all, the issues raised in this petition to the FCC, they're nothing new about this. This has been argued about for decades. Mm-hmm. And it's my humble opinion that it's no mystery that the source of the bulk of the revenue in New York for many years was indeed Gary Null and other people like that to finance the operation. So I have to say, in my humble opinion, it's only my opinion, that this action to take a complaint to the FCC is essentially an attempt that West has to see in the light of other actions that have gone on now for 10 years or 15 years within the system. And that is, as the revenues have declined throughout the system and the stations have been pressed, we've seen all sorts of ideas and solutions to solve them. And one of them, of course, is to sell WBAI, which is the most valuable station in the whole system. And so one cannot separate that kind of possible trajectory with all this from a complaint like this being filed. There's lots of complaints that have existed within Pacifica for a number of years. I'm not going to cite them on here. Many of us know what they are. They could have caused far more costly problem than this one. Yet people, in the interests of preserving and not draining the resources of the foundation, never brought them forward. So I ask, why now with this? And it sort of like reminds me of, you know, Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter. Let's have BAI walk around with that Scarlet Letter. Let's sit there and beat up on it once again, because it's an easy scapegoat. That's my opinion. And, you know, I just don't know where this is going, in terms of this. And I should point out, for historical reasons, I want another, a few seconds to finish my comment, ma'am, that the person who made the phone call complaining about the seven dirty words of George Carlin, that was out of the blue. That cost the foundation $1 million. So in the midst of this fiscal instability we face, I have to say that this is a, in my humble opinion, a rather calculated act that is only nihilistic. Thank you.
Ali, then Teresa.
Chad, this is Lawrence. I'm back and I have my hand up. Just so let me know.
Got it.
Hi, Arthur. I have two questions. Should I ask them at the same time or one at a time?
Whatever you want.
Okay, so the first question is, and excuse me if this has already been asked or answered, could you give a rough estimate of what it would cost to defend this?
My guess, it'll wind up costing us between $50,000 and $75,000.
Okay, thank you. And the second question is, what is the worst case scenario if this petition to deny should pass?
They take away our license.
And WBAI would be off the air?
And Pacifica would be off the air. We wouldn't get to substitute something else. It's not WBAI's license, but as WBAI is owned by Pacifica, the license is in the name of Pacifica. So it's Pacifica's license. It's not WBAI's license. We wouldn't be able to substitute a new radio station for it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Teresa, then Darlene.
I'm assuming you're not saying that all of the stations would go off the air, right? Is that you're not saying that, right?
No, we have five licenses. We have five different licenses.
Oh, okay. Right.
KPFK just had theirs renewed. Somebody filed some kind of complaint there also, which it held it up for 6 months. That one the FCC didn't ask us to respond to. We don't know what it was about. But it was held up for 6 months because somebody filed a complaint there that asked for anonymity, which this one didn't ask for. And so the FCC didn't forward it to us.
Okay. Well, I think that because this person, or this group, I should say this group, filed this, I would think that that's the most important thing, that we address whether we're doing something wrong. And I know this is not the first time that's been brought to the board's attention. Maybe not by a director, and I'm kind of wondering why as our directors haven't brought this up. If we've got a producer that is making a lot of money personally, maybe more than is being raised for the station.
Well, first of all, that's totally untrue. And to say that.
Maybe.
No, it's not maybe. I'm going to reveal an attorney-client privilege information. It's not true. Totally untrue. I have investigated it.
Well,
it is
good.
Not true.
Good. But I think I know that people have questions, people have concerns, and it's been brought up before. If this group feels that they are whistleblowers, then I think our highest priority as board members should be get into it and fix it if there is any problem. And heck, when we're determined to be squeaky clean, all the better. We can come across as heroes.
Darlene, then it must be Lawrence after Darlene.
Okay, Mr. Schwartz, I do not understand all the terms and what they actually mean. When you say we need to defend against, does that mean that we should say the FCC should not investigate this because, and then we have all those answers, or is it more saying, while the FCC is doing this investigation, we'd like you to have this other attempt or this other explanation along with the complaint?
My understanding is we will respond. They'll give us 30 days, and then they will decide what, if anything, they want to investigate. They asked us, they said to us, please respond within 30 days.
Okay, so that means that our counsel, our FCC counsel, would say, this is why you shouldn't investigate. These are items that were giving you to understand our answer to the complaint.
Or she will say in our, you know, we have investigated and found this problem and this problem. We will address it in this way and this way. I mean, we're going to, you know, I think our fiduciary obligation to the foundation is to address problems so they don't happen again. It's not like we're not criminal lawyers, right, who just try to create doubt, you know, at a criminal trial. That's what a criminal defense lawyer does, create doubt. You don't have to prove your person innocent. We have to, you know, our attorneys are called compliance attorneys because we have to comply, not fend off accusations.
Okay. And I want to make one statement to you. I really wish you hadn't, in open session, said, I'm going to breach client confidentiality.
I was being facetious, but I've looked into it, and I have no problem saying it in an open session. It's not that there's okay.
I was feeling like, oh no, you forgot we were in open session. And
No, I don't forget.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Darlene. Lawrence, then.
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Hang on one second. Lawrence is next. Susan has already spoken. Her hand's up next, but I'm going to skip over you till I've gotten through others who haven't spoken yet, and then we'll come back to you. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Do you have me on the staff? This is Beth. I've been waiting forever.
And Vanessa, too.
Vanessa's after Lawrence, and then Beth is after Vanessa.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Lawrence. Thank you, Chair.
This is not an anomaly. We have had two referendums, a ruling campaign to receive the network, to call the California Attorney General, lawsuits that are depleting our resources, and now we have this. So this isn't like, let's bring it up as a board member, as Mr. McFadden said, let's bring it up as a board member to the board, and let's have a conversation about it. Let's talk about not just a WBAI license, but FCC compliance, if you will. So again, this is not an anomaly. This is a relentless effort to undermine the network detrimentally, if you will, to completely undermine the network, and in particular, WBAI. And as a member of KPFK, we are in a vulnerable position. Are we going to be next? I mean, there was already an effort to stop our license renewal. So, again, this is not an anomaly. This is not like something that we should give a pass to, because this is a detrimental action to seek denial of an evidence that's required for a station like WBAI to remain on the air. And also, this has intended and unintended consequences throughout the network. So there comes a point in time when accountability trumps, you know, this is not an innocent mistake. This is an intentional act that is detrimental to the foundation. And I just want to say, I don't know why the relentless effort to rule or ruin this network and throw it over the cliff, because we are in such a vulnerable position. All five stations, maybe one station is doing a little bit better than the other, and then there's another station that does a lot with very little. I'm talking about WPFW. But to try to receive the network and then to restrict file a petition to deny a license renewal is very detrimental to the foundation. And I urge that if we're going to take action, that we vote for accountability. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence. Vanessa, then Beth.
Chair, I thought I heard Heather's voice, so I don't know if she's saying we're out of time.
No, Vanessa, I was telling that Lawrence had gone way over his time.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So, I agree very much with, everything that Lawrence just said. It mirrors my own thoughts. It's egregious. It's more than irresponsible. As a board member, it's attempted sabotage, to destroy one of the stations. And this comes from the same person, Donald Goldmacher, who said, at a few meetings ago, let's make it a repeater station, which would be the death knell of a vibrant station. Defended, you know, by, you know, people who want it to through this New Day referendum to basically disenfranchise, certainly BAI, also PFW, but certainly BAI. It's just part and pattern of a strategy. Not as a conscientious board member, any truly concerned board member would have bought this to the board, would have bought this, you know, started internally, tried to remedy it, get some more information, but to go straight to the FCC is an act of war. And it is just beyond believable. It's like there's no bottom. There's just absolutely no bottom. It's just an attempt to destroy. Pure and simple.
Oh, Sharon Salam, can I get on the list? I don't know how to raise my hand.
I'll raise your hand for you, Sharon. It's Beth and then Julie and then Jim Dingman, I think, has also spoken, so I'll skip over. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I have two brief questions. One for Julie and one for Stephanie. First for Julie, for the record, the best of your knowledge as chair, has Mr. Goldmacher made any effort whatsoever to address these specific issues through Pacifica governance?
None during, since I've been the chair.
Thank you, Julie. And then Stephanie, for the record, to the best of your knowledge, as executive director, has Mr. Goldmacher made any effort whatsoever to address these specific issues through Pacifica management?
Not that I am aware of. I have had people talk about shows that are pitching and concerns about the message that's going across, but that, you know, we've had questions and have been able to answer those questions and have had discussions with the people that are making those pitches to make sure that they're following guidelines.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's all for now. I just wanted to get that on the record. Thanks.
Thanks. My question relates to something that I actually saw. I thought of it, too, but James McFadden also posted in the chat following up on
30 minutes.
Got it. Thanks. Can we get a motion to extend for?
I move to extend for 5 minutes.
I move to extend for 15.
Which one are you seconding?
Whichever one you want.
How about the 15?
Okay, that's the one I meant.
Any objections to extending for 15? Hearing none. 15 more minutes, Susan. Thank you. Following up on the question that Ali asked about the worst case scenario, and it's losing the WBAI license, and James McFadden posted in the chat that, you know, just hazarding a guess, I think that this would be worth tens of millions of dollars. And so, Arthur, could you just confirm that if in fact that worst case scenario played out, it would take what was, you know, let's just make up a number and call it 100 million. That was an asset that's on Pacifica's, ledger. and then just makes it go to zero because we would have no ability to sell anything. We would have nothing in terms of the WB. Is that, do you think that's accurate? Realizing it's a worst case scenario.
Yes.
A point of information? Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
The value of a license is close to $54 million on paper.
Thank you. Thank you. That's helpful. I see your hand, Teresa. I'm just looking to see.
I'm listening.
I think you've already spoken. Uh-huh. Susan already spoke. Egberto is up and comes Sharon and then Donald.
Okay. Am I up now?
Yes. Egberto.
Yeah. I am just, flabbergasted to put it, bluntly. And I don't know that I have a question more than to make a statement about, first of all, to the lawyer, I think I sent you an email a few days ago requesting all the monies that we actually put out to people doing no work for Pacifica, meaning a lot of things that have been sued and whatever. Didn't get a response about
that. No, I responded. I responded to you.
I didn't get a response that I saw so far.
Yeah, I responded to you. Okay, there's two. There's Stephen Brown and who has one more payment, and Radford, who's starting her. That's it.
Okay, because, I, as a programmer at KPFT, who continuously ask donors for money, it hurts me to see the testosterone that goes on in here with suing this and suing that, and it's, I'm new to the board, I understand that, but it's preposterous. And this last statement about the possibility of, it's almost like slicing your damn self, to put something in jeopardy. So I just wanted to make a statement of being extraordinarily upset that anything at all would place us in jeopardy. Now, there are concerns about a station and people maybe doing something untoward or whatever. I don't know. Like I said, I am new. But there's one thing that I do know on every station, and I've listened to every station. There's much that could be considered untoward at many stations with folks having dubious people advertised, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Badger, your time is up.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. But give for 10 seconds. I think we need a reset. And the reset is, I think folks should drop every damn lawsuit that we have against each other and start afresh, because, it makes no sense. Thank you.
Thanks. Sharon and then Donald.
Well, I'd like to agree with, Jim and Lawrence and others who've spoken out, because I feel that, it seems like certain stations are constantly under attack within the network, and it's by the same people. And, part of this move that would affect all of us, all of our stations, and literally put all of us out of business, because we are under Pacifica and we are part of Pacifica. And we've been working with Pacifica for many, many years, and it has worked well for us. And sometimes it hasn't worked as good as it should. But there should be a protocol for people who have grievances within the board and anywhere else, where they can bring it to the floor so it can be addressed. Now, I am new to this national board. I haven't been here long, and this should have been brought to the board, even if it was brought earlier when we all came on as new electees. It should have been brought and mentioned to the board at that time, so that people would be aware that there was a problem going forward, because whoever was here before that and was supposed to try to deal with it is no longer here. This is almost like, you being backstabbed with somebody, and now you must respond in some way to protect the station bodies that we are all a part of.
Throne, your time is up.
No, let me just say we need to have a way that we can, you know, punish, hold someone accountable for these types of actions. That's all I'm trying to say. What is that method to hold people accountable when they do stuff like this? Or do we just say, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming?
Thanks, Donald.
Thank you. I strongly deny breaching any fiduciary duty to Pacifica, period. Any action you're alleging that I took was an exercise of my fiduciary duty, not any breach of it. Having a minority opinion is not illegal. It is part of a democracy, which Pacifica professes. The audio recording Mr. Schwartz circulated to members of this board was illegally obtained in violation of California Penal Code, Section 632. Recording it was a crime in California. Illegally obtained evidence cannot be used as evidence of anything. If anyone here has any other evidence, allegedly, of me breaching fiduciary duty owed to Pacifica, now is the time to disclose that evidence openly. Making accusations without evidence is defamation. Thank you.
Can I respond, Madam Chair?
Yes. Go ahead.
First of all, the call was into New York, which is a one-party state. If you call into another state, you can't say, oh, it only counts in the state I'm in. So the call that was recorded in New York, where people record one-party calls from one side all the time, was totally legal. So you got stuck. Sorry. And I just want people to know, when we had this meeting this afternoon with Melody and a senior person in their office who used to be an FCC, staff attorney high up. I wasn't prompting him, and he said, this is an utter act of breaching this man's fiduciary duty and duty of loyalty. And I said, I'm so glad you said that instead of me. So that's what our FCC attorneys think. It's not a matter of democratically expressed opinions. Nothing was raised to this board about any of the material that has been put before the FCC. I know that underneath there's been inklings of complaints about Gary Noll for years. I heard about it in the Verniel trial, although he never brought it to the board. There have been complaints about Christine Blasdale and KPFK. As far as I know, it's never been addressed to the board, but none of the stuff that's in that petition has been addressed to the board while Donald Goldmarker was on the board, whether it be from 2017 to 2019 or this year. So if people don't know about it, it's not because Julie's been hiding it, or I've been hiding it, or Stephanie or her predecessors have been hiding it. It has never been brought to the board.
Susan, where are we at on time for the 15-minute extension? Because everybody who's left has already spoken once before.
Okay, we're through minute 9.
So we have 6 to go. Okay, so it's Susan, then Teresa, then Jim. We'll see where we get.
Well, I'm delighted then that this has been brought to the board. It should have been before. If these are not problems, great. Let's address that. This board needs to step up and understand what the issues are. And Arthur, as you've said, you're not an FCC attorney. I understand that you have been talking with the FCC attorney. I request of the executive director and the chair that the FCC attorney be made available to discuss with the board these issues and to address their merit or lack of merit.
Can I say that they would be horrified to appear in front of the board because they consider this board to be so leaky, with material going right out to people who would attack Pacifica. They would not address anyone but the top leaders of the board. They and I said this two or three meetings ago, I say stuff at the board, it winds up all over the place. Material in the Verniel trial, all kinds of material that should have been confidential, financial reports, executive director reports, internal personnel reports that are supposed to be confidential. They float all over the internet. Forget about just all over Pacifica. They wouldn't talk to this whole board in a million years except to give the generalities that I'm giving.
Teresa, then Jim.
Well, I would say if that's what we need to do, to get generalities from them and have them say, we are concerned about that, I'd like them to speak for themselves. Because I think they are on retainer and, you know, I'd like to hear from them. If you already, you said, Mr. Arthur, that this producer has not made more money than he's brought or is not making any money. I think this issue has come up again for you to have even checked into it. I, as a board member, don't have those answers. Maybe you had the answer and so now it's come out into the open. We are concerned about this and we need to be reassured that this isn't something that's going to get the foundation in trouble and us in trouble.
It came up in the Verniel trial.
Obviously, you're privy to some information and research that we are not. So I think we don't have anything to fear if we haven't done anything wrong.
I don't fear. It came up
out in the open.
It came up in John Verniel's trial. He tried to say that he was fired because he was critical of Gary Noel, which that wasn't credited at all. But it came up, and I had to look into it.
Well, perhaps. This issue of this particular producer hasn't come up before, but certainly since 2002, because I've been on the board off and on for a long time, the issue of WBAI not being able to pay its bills and asking the general manager, not just this one, asking them to come up with a budget, a balanced budget, and why it can't, that comes up quite a bit. And so I think that one of the questions that is being posed by Mr. Goldmacher is maybe the reason why we can't get a balanced budget out of WBAI is because of these problems with the programming there that might have something that the FCC is concerned about. So let's get them cleaned up.
Jim Dingman.
There's no one in this board here right now who has been more critical of the design of programming in New York than me. None of you. Mm-hmm. None of you. And I've been critical of it for 30 years plus. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue of Gary Noel is not new. And I did not come on this board. I'm a new board member. I'm not new to the machinations and Games of Thrones, Pacifica style that we see going on for 30 years. I'm not new to that. I'm very knowledgeable about that. So I cannot separate what we're just looking at here from what I know about that. Now, my objective is to see no stations be turned into repeater stations. But I heard that that's a possibility because of the fiscal collapse in Los Angeles, Houston, and New York. That's an objective reality that we have to contemplate. I'm not here to see that happen. I'm here to see that turned around. And so I find to have to spend energy, as I said, on nihilistic policy options.
15 minutes.
What my look on this is a monumental waste of our time. We should be talking about, we should have been spending the past month talking about how to get the CPB money. Notice we didn't do that, did we? So, you know, this has to be really outrageously rejected as a tactic, a option, an existential threat to the foundation. Absolutely outrageous.
Your time is up.
The 15 minutes is up.
Thanks. And we pretty much exhausted the stack. Okay, folks, we're at a critical juncture here because we finished the legal counsel report and Q&A, and we've got technically what we would do now, and it's 10:33. Technically, what we would do now is we would go back if we weren't worried about going to closed session. We would go back and we would finish committee reports, and then we had a bunch of items that were on unfinished in new business. And two things are true. Well, two things are true. I don't know if that's the case. We can't cover all those items that are on the open agenda unless we decide to not have a closed session for this evening, in which case we might be able to get through everything that's on the open agenda. And then the other option, of course, is that we could still decide to power through some of the open session remaining agenda and have a very short closed session agenda. We would probably have to meet next week, like just postpone a whole bunch of these things till next week. So, but I would argue that we should have a meeting next week if we're not going to make it.
May I be recognized?
James, may I be recognized?
I saw Susan first and then James.
The KPFT building is very likely to have to come before the board. The inspection is happening tomorrow. And I understand that if it is that the national office finds everything fits, we will be coming forward and requesting authority to actually purchase. So I think there may be a special board meeting needed. I think we have to close by May 18th. So sometime in advance of that.
So I just want to remind everybody that we're in open session. Be cautious about what we say out loud here, but understood. In other words, what you're saying, it's maybe premature to have that conversation this evening, but wouldn't be premature. In fact, would be called for in some short order of time. Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Yeah, I'd like to move that we push through with the agenda of the open session until we complete it. And if not, postpone the other matters until a future time.
Second.
Thank you, Susan.
Perhaps I should specify the future time as the next meeting.
That makes sense. Thank you. Are there any objections to James's motion or any discussion of James's motion? Sorry. Are there any objections to James's motion? Hearing none, power through it is. Okay. Thank you, author, for the legal report, and thank you everybody else for your thoughtful comments.
Point of personal, whatever it is.
Go ahead, Darlene.
Okay, this is to you, Julie. This is my first time on this board, and we have three men named Jim or James. I'm awfully sorry, but could you use full names when it's a Jim or James? And you can do it to everybody. I don't care. But at least the Jim or James.
You bet. I will confess that some of them have deep baritone voices that I found confusing in my early days having both voices in the same meeting. So I exactly hear what you're saying, and I will try to do that. That was Jim Sagerton most recently. Yes, so now we're in the power through part, right? Okay, so where we were was I think we had gotten up to the point of strategic planning committee. Would anyone like to give a report for the strategic planning committee?
Wait a minute. Yes, I would.
Go ahead. Jim Dingman.
We met quickly. We heard from Lyndon and Alex and Chris. And they talked about the initiatives that they had launched with the bonding. I was not totally able to, maybe someone who's been on the committee before can express what Lyndon was talking about with the archives. And Alex was talking about podcasting. And then I guess Susan was very gracious to take notes. So I'm sure I'm going to butcher it. But we basically spent time talking about what we should do. And there was not much disagreement among us, and we'll move forward. Susan, do you want to add something from what your notes said that I haven't thrown in there?
No, I think that you were elected chair pro tem, and I think we had a conversation about addressing near-term, mid-term, and long-term things, and we wanted to be sure that we were intersecting with the strategic planning that Stephanie has called us to do.
Yes. In fact, I did have a conversation with Stephanie about this very subject, and we outlined a bunch of issues that we talked about, all very practical. I should add that I am pretty familiar with literature, strategic planning, and business situations. So some of it's applicable to Pacifica, some it isn't. But I think we all know that the main practical thing has to be how to raise money right now and how to turn all the stations around. That to me is a pretty important issue. Beth, do you want to say something?
I think that pretty much covered it. I'll be reporting from the National Development Task Force next, so I can cover that. We'll be having a, we decided to meet on the second Monday of each month, and I'll post those out across the rest of the year, and we'll have an election for permanent chair at the next meeting.
Thanks. Darlene, is your hand up to ask a question of the of Jim Dingman on this, about the strategic planning report?
Yes, and I'm kind of embarrassed about this one. I have been very confused about how we voted for people who sit on committees of the PMB, of these committees out of our LSB. And I was, I thought, elected in our LSB to audit and strategic planning committee. I could be wrong because I'm so darn confused about how that whole thing went down. I did decline the audit committee, but I didn't decline the strategic planning committee. So I didn't know that you all had met very recently, or I would have been able to get a hold of you and say, hey, I'm not hearing anything about this. What's what? Do you have a KPFA LSB member on that committee? Or is it not me?
I don't think you were elected.
That's possible.
I was elected. This is McFadden. I was elected.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry to expose my complete dumbfoundedness.
No, that's quite all right. I'm glad that we've cleared this up. And so Beth, did you want to say anything more about, Lawrence, did you have a question?
Yes, I have a request for information, Chair. Are we going to take up, the matter tonight, that I noticed, or because I'm multitasking?
Yeah. We did. We're powering through the open session agenda and eschewing the closed session for this evening. So
thank you, Chair.
As soon as we finish the committees, then we'll turn to the unfinished business and new business. Beth, did you need to say anything more about the development task force? Or did you pretty much give the report?
Yeah, I would like to report. I prepare these reports each month, and we essentially never get to them. But I did email everybody the written report. It won't take but a minute. So the National Development Task Force met, held its regular meeting, monthly meeting on Monday, April 25th, with 15 people present. Pacifica Executive Director Stephanie Wells joined us, as usual, to report on the past month's developments, respond to questions, and take part in our discussion. We also heard from KPFK listener member and dedicated CAB volunteer Dan McCrory about the station's effort to resurrect its CAB. He has also been networking with all Pacifica stations regarding the current status of each local CAB in support of Pacifica's renewed effort to qualify for CPB funding. He reports that the new KPFK CAB will meet for the first time for orientation on May 14th.
the open dialogue for the rest of the remainder of our time that day was so lively and rich with ideas that for half an hour after we adjourned, we kept the lines open for those who wanted to continue the discussion and to network. The next regular meeting of the Pacific National Development Task Force will be Monday, May 23rd at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. And I will be sending notice of that meeting to the entire PNB. Everyone's welcome, or to contact me in between meetings if there's anything you want to work on, or if you have questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Lawrence, do you have your hand up again, or is this from before?
No, Chair, that's what you call a legacy hand.
Fair enough.